I know how it feels because I have accepted it by faith. And I trust the Lord for His great salvation. We're going to get back into the Ten Commandments. We kind of took some time away from the Ten Commandments, and we're going to get back into them today. And it's been a while since we've been on the commandments. We're in commandment number 8. And today I'm just going to give you a little outline of what commandment number 8 is, because I want to do a little review and remind you why God gave these Ten Commandments, what they are, who they're to, why God gave them, and then finally, how in the world am I expected to keep them? Can we keep such commandments as these? Did God give us these Ten Commandments to keep, or did He give them to us just to show that we can't keep them? Or why did God give these Ten Commandments? And so I want to look into that and just answer some questions from the Bible. The Bible has all the answers. I want to say that, first of all, these are Ten Commandments. They're not suggestions. They're not opinions. They're not for some. They're for everyone. God gave the Ten Commandments as commandments that we're to keep, commandments to show us how holy He is and how unholy we are. God gave these commandments to show us how we ought to respond to Him and how we ought to respond one to another. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 22, He said, upon these two commandments, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, and that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, He said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So these are very, very important commandments. You see, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, the first four commandments deal with those. And to love thy neighbor as thyself, the final six commandments deal with those. And that's why He said that upon these hang all the law and the prophets. The teachings come from these commandments. And so they're not suggestions. Can I tell you this morning that man doesn't want to be commanded? People do not want to be told what to do. People get defensive. People will take a negative view towards somebody trying to tell them what to do or tell them what not to do. And they have this attitude, you don't tell me what to do. It doesn't matter if it's from someone else. It could be in the workplace. It could be in the school. It could be in the neighborhood. It could be in the church. It doesn't matter if it's from another person. It doesn't matter if it's from a parental authority. Children do not like to be told what to do. But before we're too hard on the children, when we grow up to be big children, which is called a man and a woman, we still don't like to be told what to do. And we even get to the place where we say, I don't even want God telling me what to do. That's why a lot of people don't like these Ten Commandments, because they do not want even God telling them what you can do and can't do. But I want to say something this morning, and I hope if you get nothing else, you will certainly write this down and write it big and plain. God is going to tell you what to do. God has already told us what to do. Amen. And we're going to be judged by how we respond to what God has told us to do and not to do. If you think you can break these commandments, if we think that we can go against what God has said and that life's going to be okay and work out for us, we've been deceived. And God says, I will hold you accountable. Yep. And so what are these? They're the Ten Commandments. Now, before you get a negative view about them, I want to tell you what God said about these Ten Commandments. And I want to show you from the Scripture what God said about that. First of all, He said, I'm giving you these commandments, and I'm telling you, don't harm yourself. When God says, thou shalt not, God is saying, hey, don't harm yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Don't do that, or you'll hurt yourself. And then when God says, thou shalt, then He's saying, do this and it'll help you. He put it this way in chapter 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 29 of chapter 5. He said this. He said, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. You know, some folks, they say, well, I want to keep some of them some of the time. God said, oh, no. He said, I want you to keep all my commandments always. Amen. Right? And He said, this is why. Now, please don't miss this. He said, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, God keeps His word, brethren. God keeps his word. He said, I don't want you to hurt yourself, so don't do this. And then he said, I want you to help yourself. I want you to have a good life. I want you to have a happy life. I want you to have a healthy life. So do this, right? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the land. And so there are 10 commandments. And so they're not suggestions, all right? So don't get the idea that God said, well, you know, I've got some suggestions for you, and if you do them, I might bless you. No, God said, these are commandments. I command you to do this, or I command you not to do this. Now, before I move on from this first thing on what these are, I want to remind you that the commandments have a flip side. And as we've gone through the first 7, I've tried to show you what the flip side of those were. And I'm going to give you one illustration as we go back to the fourth or the third commandment. The third commandment is not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Remember, that's the negative side. Don't use God's name in vain. I went in detail with you from the Bible on that. But there's a flip side. God just doesn't say what not to do. Don't use God's name in vain. He said, but use it in victory. Use it in victory. We are to pray in Jesus' name. See, that's in victory. Amen. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's in victory. Jesus said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, believing, ye shall receive. See, there's power in Jesus' name. There's victory in that name. And so when God gives us these commandments, and there's the flip side of every one of these 10 commandments. Don't just look at the one side of it, of what God said not to do. Look at the other side and see what God said you can do. Don't just look at the one side and see what God says to do. Look at the other side and see what God says will happen if you don't do it. These commandments are just very good for us, and they're commandments. They're commandments. Now, the word of man is advice. The word of man is opinion. The word of man is a preference. But God's word are his commandments. And we need to get that straight. All right? So what are they? They're commandments. And there's 10 in number. 4 of them are Godward. The first 4, they deal with our relationship this way. The next 6, starting with commandment number 5, to honor thy father and thy mother, they deal with us as we deal with others. All right? It helps us to learn how to respond and deal with God and how to respond and deal with others. Can I tell you, our world needs this. I need this. You need this. The 10 commandments. Number two, who are they to, these 10 commandments? Look if you would, in just a moment, in chapter 6 and verse number 1 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Right? They're for you. Who's the you? These are God's people. These are people that God has brought out of Egypt. These are people that God has delivered. These are people that God has redeemed and brought out of Egypt under the blood of the Passover lamb. It's not just any group of people anywhere. This is a people. I want you to notice, look back in chapter number 5 and verse number 24. He said, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory. Have you seen the glory of God? Then these commandments are for you. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, these commandments are for you. You see. But that's not all. Look what else it said. And his greatness. Listen, if you're saved, there's no way. We could start right here with this young man, go through this section all the way across this building, and everyone that knows Jesus as their personal Savior could stand and say, I want to tell you something about God's greatness in my life. Can I get a witness? Amen. I said, God is great. Yes, God is good. That's talking about how he is toward us. But when we say God is great, that's just talking about who he is. Amen. God is great, brethren. And he said that he's shown his greatness. Now watch this. And we have, verse 24, I'm still there. And we have heard his voice. See, these are who these 10 commandments are to. They're to you. They're to me. They're to God's people. Go back, if you would, just for a moment in verse number 15 of chapter 5. And he said, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. These are who these commandments are to. People that had an encounter and had experience with the God of heaven. People that know his word and know his voice. People that have been delivered and set free. These are who the commandments are to. He said, these, you should know me. You should know that I'm giving you these for your good. I'm giving these to you for your benefit. And so they're to you and I who know him. It's to our families, as we shall see here in just a moment. So what are they? Well, they're 10 commandments. They serve as guardrails. They serve as a spiritual GPS to navigate us through life, to help us in situations, to teach us character, reverence, and respect. Who are they to? Well, they're to we who have been delivered out of Egypt, we who have been redeemed, who have been saved in the grace of God. And then he said this, where? Where are these 10 commandments to be taught? Well, there's three places I believe the scripture teaches here that the 10 commandments are to be taught, and I want to bring them to you. Look, if you would, in verse number 29 of chapter 5, he said, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And then he said, in the latter part of verse number 31, he said, I want that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. He said it again in verse number 33 of chapter 5, in the last phrase there, he said, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. He said, you keep these commandments so that those that are living around you will see that there's something different about you. You see, this is where we're to keep the commandments. Some people think that being a Christian is just something you kind of put on when you come to church and then take off when you leave. Hey, listen, God said, I want you to keep these commandments in that land that you're going to over there in Canaan, where they worship false gods, where they know nothing about the one true and living God. They need to see that God makes a difference in the lives of his children. Amen. See, there's a world out there that needs to see that Christianity is just not some badge or some pin you put on your lapel or some bumper sticker you put on your vehicle. Christianity is being set free. Christianity is being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is being redeemed and being delivered from sin and having the righteousness of Christ put in your heart and your soul. And so he said, that's where you need to do these 10 commandments. Do them out there among those that do not know me. And then there's a second place that he said that we ought to do these. In the second place, he said, you do them when you gather together. Look, if you would, in chapter number, let me find it here, chapter number 6, he said, now, these are the commandments. Verse number 1, and I read this to you. He said, that the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land. To teach you. What do you think Moses taught these 10 commandments to these people? You think he went around from house to house to house teaching them? No. He called them together. They came together. When there's a gathering, these 10 commandments were taught. Brethren, I have been as a pastor. Every pastor in this church has been commanded by God to preach the word. Every preacher has been commanded of God. You preach the word. And what did Paul say? I want to declare unto you the whole counsel. Can I tell you the 10 commandments are part of the whole counsel? Amen. So when there's a gathering, that's one of the reasons I'm preaching these 10 commandments to you, to teach you. As we gather together in this place, to teach you the 10 commandments, not just recite them to you. By the way, I hope that you're teaching your children the 10 commandments. Oh, preacher, they know the 10 commandments. Well, why don't you ask them? By the way, do you know them? You see, it's hard to teach something you don't know. And we'll see that in just a moment. So the first place, I believe that God wants us to have these commandments is displayed by example as we live them in the land. I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I don't think that's the most effective way, but I do believe in lifestyle evangelism. Amen. I believe people will look at my life and look at your life, and if they see a difference, it'll cause them to want to know why we're different.
Amen.
Amen. I think lifestyle evangelism is good. I think it's a walk. But listen, if you just walk it and don't talk it, I think you're leaving out something. If you talk it and don't walk it, I think you're leaving out something. God wants us to walk it and talk it. So he wants us to do it by example. Then he wants us to come and he wants it to be taught to us. I go back to chapter 6, verse 1 again, and I bring your attention one more time to what he said there. He said that which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Somebody's got to teach the Ten Commandments, brethren. You're not just born knowing the Ten Commandments. You're not just born knowing what God says in his word. We need teachers. We need preachers. Amen. Men that'll stand up and teach what this book teaches, just like it says it. But you know, there's a third place, and I think this really is the most important place. I do. In chapter 6, I want you to notice let's go back to chapter 5 just for a moment. Look at verse number 29 again in chapter 5 and verse number 29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. Watch this now. And with their children. See, God wants me to teach it to my children. God wants you to teach it to your children. We said when we were talking about this going through these Ten Commandments that every home ought to be a law school. I want you to notice in chapter 6 just for a moment. Would you look there? Would you look in chapter 6? Look in verse number 2. Look at the latter part. He said, and his commandments which I commanded thee. You see that right in the middle of chapter 6, verse 2? Thou and thy son's son. He said, you need to learn them, and you need to teach them to your sons. You need to teach them to your children. And you need to teach them to your sons' sons. You need to teach them to your children's children. You need to teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Are you teaching your children and your grandchildren that thou shalt not steal? Are you teaching your children and your grandchildren that thou shalt not commit adultery? Are we teaching our children and our grandchildren thou shalt not covet? You see, these things just don't happen, brethren. We're born with a fallen, sinful nature. We're bent towards sin. We're bent towards stealing. Listen, you don't have to teach your children to steal. You teach them not to. Somebody say amen with me. You don't have to teach your children to lie. You teach them not to. Why? We're sinners. We need to be taught these truths. In chapter 6, notice with me if you would. I like verse 6 and 7. It's powerful. He said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It'll do you no good to teach them to your children if it's not in your heart. If it's just empty words, listen, if you're teaching your children not to steal while you're stealing, you're doing more harm than you are good. If you're teaching your children to not covet while you're coveting, not lie while you're lying, you're doing more harm than you are good. See, it's got to get in your heart. It's got to get beyond your mind. It's got to get beyond the natural. It's got to get beyond the law. It's got to get where you love the Lord, and because you love him, you want to keep his law. Amen. It's got to be more than just tables, commandments written on tables of stone. They have to be written in your heart. Right. Where you say, I know God is right, and because I love him, I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to steal. Why? Not just because it's wrong, because it's a sin against God. You see. And so he said, you teach them in the land. You teach them in the gathering. But the most important place, and you hear me, and I know, listen, I know this will make some fathers squirm, but listen, dads, listen to me. This country, this church, this community needs some men that'll stand up and live the Bible and teach their children and their families what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Teach your family what thus saith the Lord. Quit using an excuse and quit bowing out and bowing down, and teach your family what the Bible says. You'll never go wrong teaching your children what the Bible says. Say, oh, preacher, I know all that. Not interested in what you know. I'm interested in what you're doing. I think the curse of our generation is knowledge. We know so much that we do not do. We don't don't need to hear more about what we don't know. We need to do more of what we do know. Amen. We've just fallen and gotten lax to where we think, well, you know what? I know those Ten Commandments. I know John 3:16. I know I ought to be doing this. I know I ought to be doing that. But what we need to do is say, I'm going to do it by the grace of God. I'm going to do it. You see it here in verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them. Look at it, chapter 6. I mean, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse number 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house. Are you doing this? So now, preacher, that's not talking to me. Sure it is. You don't think it's talking to lost people, do you? You don't think that God is telling lost people to teach the Bible to their children and in their house? No, brethren, this is talking to you and I. Dad, call your family together. Break open the Word of God and teach them. Start a law school in your home, where you as a parent, as a professor, where your children are the students, and where the Word of God is the curriculum. Amen. We've quit teaching our Bible in the homes. TV has replaced the Bible. Video games have replaced family devotions. Movies and media and TikTok and Facebook, Instagram, and all of that stuff has replaced sitting down and having family altar and prayer and talking about spiritual things. Brethren, listen. This, and then we wonder, what's wrong with our young generation? We have a generation coming up that has very little spiritual concern. Brethren, God has entrusted unto us the baton. And we must hold the baton. And we must be very careful of how we carry it. But we also must be very careful of how we prepare to pass it. And so he said in verse number 7 again, he said, I want you to teach it to your children. And he said, I want you to talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Your heart, your home ought to be saturated with the Word of God. So what are these? Well, they're commandments. They're not suggestions. I'm not fussing at you, brethren. Don't think my passion is condescending. I'm just telling you. We need to understand God expects us to do this. Do you have a law school in your home? Do you call your children together and say, listen now, son, daughter, listen to your dad. If you're a single parent, listen to your mom. Listen. The Word of God says this, and tell them what the Bible says. These are commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me, he said. Right? Amen. We're to worship the Lord and him only. We're not to make any graven images unto him. We're not to use his name in vain. We're to remember his day and to keep it holy. Brethren, I've said it so many times before, so many people now, when I was growing up, when many of you were growing up, Sunday was a hallowed day. It's no longer a hallowed day. People go hunting and fishing and sporting and all kinds of things. Why? Because we've taken God's day. I want to tell you, God does not take to that lightly. And the judgment of God is filling up with his wrath. And one day God may give us what we long for, and that is that he would just leave us alone. It appears that our country is crying to the top of their lungs, just leave us alone. Will you Christians, will you churches, will you Bible thumpers, will God himself just leave us alone? One day he may just do that. And when he does, we will be like the children of Israel of old, and we will be begging for God's presence as they went through 400 silent years between the Old and the New Testament, and God did not speak to his people through his prophet. It's a serious thing for God to leave you alone. And so be careful what we wish for. Teach them. Teach them. It works. As you start that law school in your home, enroll them early. Amen. I know it's hard. I hadn't forgotten. How many of you got older children now? By older, I mean, let's say all of your children are at least 16 or older. Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. Okay. See, we know what it is for those of you who don't. Listen, I remember when mine were young, and we were trying to have family devotions, and I'm just going to be transparent with you just for a few moments. Many times at the end of our family devotions, I had to repent and get right with God. Amen. I mean, you know. You're sitting there and you got one crawling away and this one over here. I mean, you think you're getting a point across, you know. You're sitting there and you're telling them something that Jesus loves you. And he died on the cross for you. And he was buried. And he rose again. And about that time, they kind of perk up. You say, yeah, yeah, a light went off. And did you get that, son? Can I have some water? No, but I'll tell you what you can have. Amen. I mean, it's just something. Oh, but don't give up. Don't let that discourage you. Please don't. Those precious little ears and listen, those precious little hearts, they need to hear mom and daddy telling them this stuff. It's good for the Sunday school teacher to tell them. Listen, it's good for the children's church workers to tell them. It's good for that, but it's better when mom and dad can send them around in familiar territory that knows them better than anyone else knows those little babies and tell them what God has done for them, how God has blessed their family and show them, children, the meal we ate today was a meal that God gave us. The clothes that we put on today was because God takes care of us. Teach your children. Teach them. Teach them this book. You'll never regret it. Enroll them early. Teach them daily. Teach them. What are they? Well, they're Ten Commandments. Who are they to? Well, they're to we who have been redeemed. Where are they to be taught? Well, I gave you those three places, in the land, in the gathering, as we're doing here, but in your homes, teach them. Teach them. That one-on-one can never be replaced, that one-on-one time. I have just two more thoughts and I'll be done. Why? Why do we teach these Ten Commandments? You know, when my children were growing up, there were times, and this is kind of passed over in my parenting from my child, I took as I was parenting, some of it passed over. I should have got maybe rid of more than I did, and I maybe should have kept more than I did, but we do that as parents, don't we? I mean, we hang on to some things, but when I was growing up, it was a cardinal sin for us to ask my mom or my grandmother. My dad wasn't around, so he wasn't to be asked, but my mom and my grandmother, was a cardinal sin for us to ask, why? Was it that way in your home, or was I just abused? And okay. But why? And you know what the answer to that is. Because I said so, that's why. Okay, boy, you got right to it then. But you know, can I tell you that what children need to hear is because God said so. See, when we teach our children, certainly there's nothing wrong with me telling my child because I said so, but what I need to do is explain to them, I'm going to tell you why that you don't lie to daddy. Because God said so. God said that it's sin. And when you lie, you have sinned against God, and this displeases your God. It displeases your Father, but it displeases your Heavenly Father. Right? Amen. See, that's why we teach them. You know, why are we to teach these commandments? I'm going to give you a few things here before we move on, okay? Look, if you would, in chapter 6 again. Look in chapter 6. We talked about these. In verse number 6, number one, we need these Ten Commandments because we need them to be in our heart. They need to be in our heart. Number two, look if you would in verse number two. Would you look there? That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That word fear means reverence. Reverence. That we're to reverence the Lord our God. You know what reverence does? Please listen to me. It makes us thankful. Are you thankful? Do you catch yourself being unthankful? Do you find yourself from time to time being more unthankful for what you don't have than being thankful for what you do have? See, as we learn God's word, as we allow God's word to saturate our hearts, This is why God, we're talking about the why now. Why does God give commandments? Why does God give the law? Why does God give his word? It's to get in our hearts. It's to teach us to reverence him, you see. God said it plainly. Again, I call your attention to chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Now, why did you want to teach us that, Moses? Why did God want you to teach these 10 commandments? That you might do them in the land whithersoever thou goest, that you might practice them. God just doesn't want you to know them only. He wants you to do them, right? And we'll get to that in just a moment. But look what he said here in verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, that you might reverence him, that you might have a better understanding of who he is in regard to who you are, and that you might be thankful because you can praise God from whom all blessings flow. You just know God is my provider. He's my protector. That's what you teach. That's why you need to know them, and that's why you need to teach them to your children. Don't you teach your children now. You can be anything you want to be. You go out and you do this and that, and you'll be successful. No, you learn what it is to depend on God, to trust the Lord with all of your heart, to follow him and to serve him. Amen. Amen. And when you do that, God will prosper you. So there's reverence. Then second of all, notice that little phrase there. Would you notice the last part of verse number 1? That ye might do them. You know what comes from obedience? Please listen to me. Righteousness. It seems to be something that we care so little about today. We're kind of interested in entertainment and shows and performances. We need righteousness, brethren. That just means right acts. That's what righteousness means. And the only way I can do right is if God would be my helper. If you get in God's word, he'll teach you to do right, to talk right, amen, to walk right, yeah, to do right, just be right. Just be right with God. Just do what's right. Seems like that our country and the whole world is just going haywire. Doesn't want to do right. But don't you let that affect you, and don't you let that impact you negatively. You do right by the grace of God. And then the third thing that I want you to notice is respect. We talked about that when we were talking about God's commandments, remember? Why does God want me to teach my children these commandments? Now please listen. Our children need to learn respect. So I'm going to whip it into them, preacher. Well, you know what? You'd do better if you teach it to them. Teach your children to respect. You see, those 10 commandments, I challenge you. You go and look at them. Every one of the 10 commandments is teaching respect. Pull any one out of the 10 commandments and I can show you where it's teaching respect. No other gods before me. Respect who God is. Respect his position. He's God and God alone. There's none beside him. Amen, church? He's God. Respect who he is. Honor thy father and thy mother. Respect them as your parental authority. Right? Thou shalt not kill. Respect the sanctity of life. Don't disrespect life by treating it frivolously and snuffing it out. Right? Have respect for life. God is the giver of life. Thou shalt not steal. Respect other people's property. Respect what belongs to someone else. You want something? Work, pray, and get it. But don't take something that is not yours. Respect other people's property. The Ten Commandments teach us respect. Could it be that we've gotten so far removed from the Ten Commandments that that's why we do not have respect in our society anymore? We've quit teaching these Ten Commandments in our home where God said to teach them, and now we've raised up a generation that has respect for nothing or no one. Some folks don't even know how to respect themselves. I'm not saying that. Listen, I'm not saying that in a condescending way. I'm saying it as a matter of fact to try to show just how much we need to get back to this book right here. Why? Well, God said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. When I keep God's commandments, it shows that I love him. Is that right? Amen. Well, we've seen the what, the who, the where, the why. Now, how am I going to do this? How are you going to keep God's Ten Commandments? Do you know?
He said, I'm going to try hard, preacher.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you try hard all you want to, but you're not going to keep these Ten Commandments. Not in your energy alone. Now, please hear me. Don't you miss this. The only way that I or you are going to keep these Ten Commandments is with the commandment giver inside of us. I'm glad that Jesus became the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's Romans 10:4. And Jesus lives in me. That's right. If you're saved, Jesus lives in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you're saved, Jesus lives in you. Is that right, church? That's how we're going to keep these commandments. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And the Spirit of God sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. That's right. And the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts helps us to want to keep God's commandments because we love Him. We want to keep His commandments. All right? That's how you're going to do it. Walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. As we close today, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Would you turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll close with this verse of Scripture. I sit down at my desk this past week, and I wanted to give this 8th commandment. We're on commandment number 8. We left off with commandment number 7, and then we took about a month off, and the Spirit of God just kept saying, nope, I want you to bring them up to place. I want you to bring them. We need to understand why these commandments, these are important. I don't want to just treat them like, well, let's get this one over and then get the next one over and just kind of, you know, rush through these and we'll have 10 out of the way and then we can move on. Brethren, these are very important. Very, very important. I cannot tell you how important it is that God gave us these 10 commandments. When you really begin to study the depth of the purpose of these commandments, it will change your life. Now, I'm not saying that the Ten Commandments has ever nor will ever get anyone to heaven. The Ten Commandments will never get anyone to heaven. You say, well, I can keep the Ten Commandments and I'm going to heaven. Listen to me. You'll never get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. We keep them because we're going there. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. We keep the Ten Commandments because we are saved. It's the only way you can keep them. Amen. Are you in Ephesians? What's the 8th commandment? Somebody raise your hand and tell us this morning what the 8th commandment is. Just anybody. The 8th commandment. All right, we got a young man there on the back. Stand up and tell me what the 8th commandment is. Okay, well, that's okay. Good try. The 8th commandment is thou shalt not steal. Well, you knew it all the time. Why'd you wait for me to start? We're all that way, brother. We are. We're sitting there. We know what the answer is. We just don't want to speak out. Thou shalt not steal. Next week, with God's help, we're going to talk about that, but I'm going to give you something to take home with you. Okay? Are you in Ephesians chapter 4? I don't want you to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, because then I'd have to embarrass you. And I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. Is there anybody in here this morning that's never stolen? Don't raise your hand. We've all stolen in one way or another when you begin to study God's Word. Some people are still stealing. Boy, that's still stealing. Okay. Yeah. They're taken from others. They're taken from God. You know, did you know that if you don't give God the tithe, you're stealing from God? Actually, you're robbing Him. You're taking something that belongs to Him. We could go right on through. This thing of stealing is really, really important. Most people think of stealing as some masked guy, you know, going into a bank with a weapon and taking money. Well, that's a form of it, but this thing of stealing is, it's something. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 4? This is what we're going to talk about a little next week with the help of the Lord. It says, let him that stole steal no more. Now, the Apostle Paul here is assuming that means you. The Apostle Paul is not writing a group of prisoners in some prison in Ephesus. He's writing to the church that has gathered at Ephesus. And he said, I know you've stolen, but I'm going to tell you, don't do it no more. Amen? You see what is happening here? In some form, you've stolen. He said, don't do it no more. Look at it now. Here's the word I want you to write down. Let him that stole steal no more. Write this word down, integrity. Integrity, because that's what we're going to talk about. And then he said this, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. I want you to write this word down. Industry. Work is good. This is where everybody will say amen. Work is good. So you say, oh, work is a curse from God. Now, the Bible nowhere teaches that. Work is good. Teach your children the Ten Commandments. Teach them to work for what they get in life. Teach them to work and to pray and to depend, and teach them a good work ethic. Teach them the importance of developing a good work ethic. Teach them industry. To work. Look what he said now. To working with his hands. Well, I tell you, we've raised up a generation that doesn't understand this. We've gotten so heavy in the books, we forgot that we need to use more than our minds. This. Work with your hands. Use your mind, but work with your hands. Is that what the Bible's teaching? Industry. So there's integrity. Don't steal now. No more. You've done it. Don't do it no more. Work with your hands. Why? Here's our final word. Generosity. That he may have it to give to him that needeth. See, God doesn't want me to keep everything I work for. By the way, God doesn't want you to keep everything that you work for either. God wants us to share with those that need, not those that want it. Listen to me now. The word of God's always right. So here's three words we're going to talk about next week as we stand to our feet. Next Sunday morning. Now tonight, I hope you'll be here as Pastor David continues his series on Elijah. And it's been really good. If you haven't been here, I want to encourage you to be here. It's been a great study, Pastor David. It has. And I mean, I'm not just promoting a Sunday night service. I'm telling you, you'll need to be here to hear as we continue in this series on the prophet Elijah. Next Sunday morning, we're going to take up this thought. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. What is stealing? What's the remedy for it? God said, well, if you stole it, don't do it no more. God's serious about this, brethren. I'm going to tell you, God's serious about his commandments. You say, I don't take them serious. Well, God does. And then he said, let him work with his hands. Quit sitting around waiting on somebody to give you something. Quit looking for some way that you can get something you don't have to work for. Amen. Work. Use your hands. Say, well, I can. I'm handicapped. I'm disabled. Well, you know what? Then God knows that. And therefore, let us that work give to him that needeth. Integrity, industry, generosity. Some people can't. Some people's fallen on hard times. Some people, they're physically unable. And I just believe that you and I, by what God has blessed us with, we ought to be willing to share and help those that can't help themselves as God leads. Let's bow our heads together.